The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Pure Rock Radio. Feed your addiction. Yeah!
This episode is brought to you by the Bleeding Old Blood Club with this important message. The Bleeding Old Blood Club believes life doesn't end at 40. Live life. Take that trip. Learn that skill. Get in the pit. Learn to skate or get back on your skateboard. Shred it up once again. Check us out on Facebook, the Bleeding Old Blood Club. You can teach an old dog new tricks.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to an artsy fartsy episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 597, and I'm Snowy White.
I'm Sky.
And this is Aaron. And dear listeners, here's what kind of a Tuesday it is right now as we record this for you. I'm drinking dragon's milk. You know why? Because I don't have any True Cult coffee in the house, because what I need is a Motorhead. That's True Cult coffee, Jack Daniel's whiskey, honestly, any whiskey, but Jack Daniel's makes it authentic. And then Coca-Cola. If I hear any of you fuckers putting Diet Coke in your Motorhead, like, just go listen to a Justin Bieber podcast. All right. So you need True Cult Coffee, TrveKVLTCoffee.com. If I had a Motorhead in my mug right now, I would probably be going all night long, and then I would probably follow it up with a church burner, and that is where we take True Cult coffee, some butter. I can't remember. I think cardamom to taste, something else, because that's the church burner. Put some fat in it. And then, of course, there's the Canadian Death March, where we add a little bit of maple syrup and some hot sauce. But those are your drinks, the signature Radioactive Metal ways to drink True Cult coffee. Because here, we drink it black. It's the blackest coffee for the blackest, heaviest podcast. And you should get yourself a cup today, because if you subscribe before the 14th, and even if after the 14th, you're going to guarantee not only do you get coffee every month and you don't run out, that you will get some great, great tunes. Sean's always picking some kick-ass bands to represent every month. They do special mugs. Just TrveKVLTCoffee.com on Instagram at TrveKVLTCoffee. It's fantastic. This is a true metalhead who's running his own business and some other side things. Like the guy really inspires me and makes me feel like I'm lazy and don't do enough with my life.
Yeah. Like, I hear you on that. Yeah.
And I tell him that all the time. I'm like, dude, like, you know, I love when we start texting, because I'll be like, man, okay, fuck, I got to get my life together, you know? Cause I mean, like, I've got two kids, he's got like three or four now. You know, like, I think four total, if I think about it, because they have a newborn. So four total kids. So, I mean, this guy He is the real deal. He is metal, by metalheads, for metalheads. Support him, support his family, and drink a great coffee. I know everybody has Death Wish, but that's not black enough. That's not heavy enough. You need True Cult coffee.
And when you're all wired up on True Cult coffee, make sure you get down to our hometown of Winnipeg, Manitoba, on April 17th and the 18th, because this is the time I really start getting excited. Those are the days for the Manitoba Metal Fest. The lineup this year is, as with every year, absolutely kick-ass for headliners. We got Gatecreeper, we got the legendary Cryptopsy, as well as recording artist Numenorian, Nocturnal Departure, all bands we've had on the show before, and I'm particularly stoked, really excited about the reunited Immortal Possession, a band that was my very first interview in any way, shape, or form literally 3 decades ago now. So I am really stoked. There's some days I definitely feel like it, but there's a lot of days like today where no, I am ready to rock and roll, and I will be rocking and rolling at the Manitoba Festival April 17th and the 18th, and hopefully Sky will be more than happy to be my date for those days. What do you say? Are you going to make your way out as well?
I'm hoping I can make it out.
Right on. So, yes, the Manitoba Metal Fest, April 17th and 18th. How are you guys doing?
Well, I'm drinking... Fuck, what am I drinking?
Oh, yeah. You're
I'm already drinking on a Tuesday night, so that should tell you how I'm doing.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about it, like much like we did last time.
Yeah,
we recorded, and it's like, you know what? I just got too much going on in the real world. A lot of good stuff and a lot of sucked out stuff. So I figured I'm just going to stick just to the True Cult coffee while we record, because we got a lot of kick-ass stuff to get to. Now, normally... we would have some form of creature feature, like we've been killing it lately, you know, with the Soulfly and the Toxic Holocaust interviews. This week, this episode, I kind of wanted to forego, you know, that stuff, because I know Aaron has something really interesting that you're kind of gnawing at the bit to discuss. So unless... anyone has anything else? Then let's just get on with it.
We've been very busy this week. Here's our metal fix.
Okay, who wants to tell me what's been going on with their metal fix?
Well, who should go first?
I think you should go first, Guy, and then maybe I'll go last, Snowy, and you know, just so we can really dig into like my events last week.
Okay.
Unless you had other ideas.
Well, I do have some tunes here from my metal fix that we're going to get into, but it doesn't really matter. Sky, what's going on?
Well, I mean, other than being super crazy and the absolute norm of booking bands and promoting different shows. Right. I recently took a trip to Toronto and Hamilton. Right. By the way, screw Hamilton. Just want to get that out of the way.
Wait a second. Hamilton was you mean Hamilton the musical? You went to see a musical?
I wish. That would have been better than I was going. Hamilton.
Just for our international listeners, Hamilton. Well, everyone knows what Toronto is. Hamilton is also a city in the southern Ontario area that's just not as well known, you know, as some of the others. What was going on there?
Well, there was, you know, I'm not going to get like too far into the details, but there was, you know, some issues with where we were staying. Got chased by a skunk down the streets at 4 in the morning. Just awful. Like, it was just stupid. It was just so stupid. Mm-hmm. But with that, I do got to say I did meet up with Pantycrate's manager. So that was pretty cool. And we locked in the date for them to come play a show here.
Right on. I love that name. Oh, my God.
I know.
That's the best name ever.
I mean, they're so badass, too. Mm-hmm. Like, they're so rad. But it was cool. And then I went to Toronto. And the idea was, is I was supposed to go to Toronto and go visit Heavy Metal Villain and, you know, get wild and party out there for 3 days. But didn't quite pan out that way. So I only ended up out there for 1 day. Okay. Still had the time of my life, completely made an ass out of myself at multiple venues throughout the city.
It's okay. It's Toronto. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, I was
you fit right in.
Yeah, pretty much. I was supposed to have meetings with different agencies and stuff, which I kind of screwed the dog, literally. And didn't end up going to. So.
Wait a second. I don't think we can talk about that. Or is that legal in Canada?
I think you should be used to that expression now. Like, I mean, I'm sure I've used it enough on.
Well, and again, like every time I hear it, when every time you say fucking the dog, I'm like, my goodness gracious.
What's wrong with
I've heard screw the pooch, but just man, like, oof. You and your tough Canadian military speak.
But yeah, it was cool. I met with a lot of people. I met a lot of individuals out there, talked to a couple of different agencies, which kind of spun into me looking at working under an agency and starting to book tours for different bands across Canada.
Mm.
So now I have these people that are kind of like scouting me right now. It's all, everything's kind of a little hectic and crazy, but I'm digging it. It is something I like, and I'm willing. After this trip, I realized, you know, I don't plan to stay in Winnipeg forever. Mm-hmm. I would like to be sourced out of Winnipeg, but I plan to fly other places and work out of different places and such. So that's something I'm looking into and considering. It's kind of neat.
I think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There was a band out there, Pale Mare. They were super wicked, and they're coming to play a show here. We just haven't announced it yet, so stay tuned for that. Well,
guess what? You're telling the world now.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine. An early blurb. Next couple of days. So.
Oh, okay. Well, then it'll be announced before this hits the air. Then okay.
Possibly, or right around the same time. Hippo played a show at this really, really awesome little place called the Seascape. It's a sci-fi bar.
Mm-hmm.
And they played with Artificial Dissemination, and they got some coverage and some magazines up there. Oh. Yeah, so it's kind of neat. There was a lot of interesting people that I met, but that sci-fi bar was cool. They had like lots of artwork there. That you could buy. Mm-hmm. I kind of stole something and ran away like a drunken idiot and then had to return it the next day. apologizing, like, please don't make me not ever come, like, don't let me not ever come back here. My intentions are well.
Mm-hmm. Right on. And you went out there with Winnipeg Punkers Hippo. That was the whole reason for them for going out there, because they were kind of going out there as well, eh?
Yeah, they went out for the show and kind of to have fun as well. It was good, it was fun. Hippo wrote a song about me that Winnipeg people, if you know Hippo and are familiar with them, stay on the lookout for a song called Ride the Sky Train. it's gonna be one hell of a song.
Oh yeah, I mean, having read the lyrics, like I appreciate the subject matter. It's pretty amusing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know?
And I gotta hit it to him. I mean, just some of the alliterations in there, Like, that's some good writing. If that's the first draft, I'm pretty impressed.
It was me who wrote it.
Oh, that's even better.
Okay. Oh, the song is actually, it was written because the guys throughout the trip were making fun of me. And so I took all of their disses and all of their jokes that they kept cracking about me and turned it into a song.
Oh, that's
amazing. So they took that. They took that and started like working with it, making it into a complete song. And I'm the most proudest, greasiest Winnipeg gal ever.
You ought to be, because right, that's some good stuff. That's really some
sounds
good
like
stuff.
You had a good time.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be going back out, I believe, in end of April. No.
Okay.
Yeah, the end of April I go back, and then after that, in a month, I go to Vancouver.
Oh, right on.
Right on.
Okay, you're at work, aren't you?
I sure am.
That goes to show the dedication that you have on this show. Even though you're hard at work and all that, you're ready to sit down and hang out and have a grand old time with us. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Right on, right on. Good. No, I'm glad you you had a good time. You came home in one piece.
Kinda.
Yeah. I mean, well, you had all of that going on. I've had other stuff going on with other projects and all that. So I feel like it's been way too long since I last saw Sky. So I'm going to be by this weekend. I'm sure at some point. What about you, dude? Do you want me to?
Well, so here's what I'm thinking. You want to talk about the art show after we do the Metal Fix and just do that in depth? Because I have some other small stuff to talk about.
Yeah, okay. Well, just hit me up with the small stuff. Yeah.
All right. So I went to, and I will say, like, I went to the Kirk Hammett art exhibit last week in Columbia, South Carolina. And I picked up something really, really cool. So the best part about a horror exhibit at a museum is in the museum shop, they're going to sell things that are themed for that exhibit. So I picked up a book called Horrorgami.
Ooh.
Right? And so basically, this book has all these pre-printed, and I need to sit down and read it, but apparently this guy is like really into horror and gothic stuff and does some amazing things with paper folding and paper cutting. So like there's, and I'll post pictures of this on Instagram when this goes live, but you've got, and I'm looking for one, but there's like the wolf, like there's a werewolf howling at the moon kind of scene. And so basically you cut it out, you fold it, and it's like all 3D kind of stuff when you're done. And my kids are really into origami right now. So I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a blast. Mm-hmm. And then, have you guys seen the movie Pixels?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
I have. It's kind of neat.
It's hysterical, right? I love that movie. My kids love that movie, and they've gotten into old video games because of it. But there's the one scene where Ludlow, the Wonder Kid, is talking to all the army guys, and he introduces me. Goes, "Your worst nightmare." Well, they happen to have little memo pads there that said, "From the desk of your worst nightmare," and so I bought that for each of the kids. And they think it's the funniest thing in the world. Like they're not quite understanding the other part of the worst nightmare thing. Like, they attribute it to Pixels. But then they had these great journals. Because, like, you know, and so we've talked about this. Like, I do a lot of things digital, but like you, there are times where I prefer paper. And so I picked up a Frankenstein journal and a Dracula journal. And they've got like little bats and stuff on the Dracula journal on the different pages, where that's what's the cover, because it's the classic, you know, Universal monsters on the cover, and I just absolutely love it.
Right on.
Those are some of the cool horror things I picked up. And then like my anti-metal fix this week is right now I am supposed to have been doing this live in my hotel room in Los Angeles. I did not make it on that trip, and I'm kicking myself. Like I keep going back and forth between being a responsible adult and feeling like a pussy. And I apologize if I'm offending anybody, but like, I'm from the 80s. That's how we used to talk, guys. Suck it up.
Yeah.
I and that's just the kind of mood I'm in right now. Like, I had zero tolerance for anybody in there. Oh, I'm offended. Well, then fuck off and die. Like, you know what? The quickest way to not be offended, die. Like, you won't be offended by anything then. I can't believe you sound so violent. Now, if I was violent, I'd punch you. I just told you to die. There's really nothing violent about dying. Really. You can die silently in your sleep.
You know? At the end of the day, you got to remember, Aaron's literally a Cub Scout, people. So relax.
Yeah, yeah. Boy Scout. Thank you. I'm a little old to be a Cub Scout. Anyway.
Okay.
And occasionally a Girl Scout, but only on weekends when I have the right outfit. But
there you go.
Anyway. So, I came down with a cold this weekend, and with all this fucking panic over the coronavirus and all the cases, and of course it's coming in through LAX, and I'm like, shit, what do I do? So, like, I go to the doctor, they're testing me for strep, and like, I've been doing so good. I've been trying to like avoid getting sick. I've just got like horrible sore throat. It's hard to breathe. Like, everything that they're warning you to not, expose yourself to the coronavirus. If you've got this kind of stuff, I'm like, fuck, what do I do? So I ended up canceling the trip, and immediately I've regretted it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've just been like beside myself with anguish. Because it was a once in a lifetime thing. I mean, not only was it going to be like Dean Del Rey's like last AC/DC show with just these amazing who's who of rock and roll musicians, it was right in Hollywood. It was off Hollywood Boulevard. It's right on where the Walk of Fame starts. It's across from the Capitol Records building. My hotel was a block down from it. It was maybe a couple blocks from where the famous Grauman's Chinese Theater is, now known as the TCL Chinese Theater. Okay. It's only a couple blocks, like two or three blocks from Amoeba Records, which is like one of the biggest, independent record stores in the country still, that's in Hollywood. And just like all these things, like I've just been sick, and I just feel like the biggest sissy, because I'm like, all I have is a fucking sore throat. But I literally let all the media get to me, and I feel so angry about that, because Ozzy Osbourne warned us, the media sells it, you play the role,
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like such a fucking pussy right now.
I think people are getting kind of a little, come on, this isn't like the new plague.
Well, and,
like, come on.
Yeah, because everybody's freaking out, but it's like, okay, the people that are dying are mostly older people. And mm-hmm. while that's a shame, like, we should be happy that it's not killing off the younger population. Because if it's killing off the younger population, then we've got a real problem.
Not that I know anything about this. It just seems to be, like, if you do the research on this, apparently does it not just attack those that are most vulnerable to it?
Oh, no. Pretty much anybody can get it. But just the ones that are most vulnerable are really going to have a rough time. Like, some people are just going to have, like it's basically going to be like the flu. Like, you can have, like, cold-like symptoms, or it could be worse,
Okay.
And so, like, let's put it this way. So, like, if I was going to be anywhere near my mom, I would have made sure to not go at all, for that reason. Because my mom has, like, and like literally everything that they said that puts you at risk, she had all of those. It says if you have any one of these, you're at risk. Like, literally, if she were to come in contact with it, she's done. If she gets it and would survive, it would be a miracle. I'm worried about that, because it finally just hit Pittsburgh. But at the same time, it's 1 in 1,000 chance of getting it. It hasn't been community spread within the U.S. yet, at least as of the last time I looked. And so, but I was freaking out, because I'm like, okay, it's going to rain all day that day. I want to walk around Hollywood. I got to fly, and I'm going to go back and be sleep deprived, because I'm going to be 3 hours behind what I'm used to, and all this stuff is just going to catch up with me. And I'm like, fuck, what am I doing? Like what's going to happen when I get back? Because then I'm like, okay, I don't want to bring anything back to my family. Like, what do I do? And, and then today I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay, I have, at work, like when I used to do training, I had to train 2 weeks of a class with no voice, drinking tea and honey, every hour, just to make it through. I'm like, I did that. Why didn't I fucking do this for myself? So I'm really in a self-loathing mood right now, hence the thing where I said, I just was, grr today. But I've spent the last 2 hours playing my guitar and recording, so I'm feeling definitely better because of that.
There we are. The healing power of music. Trust me.
There really is.
Trust me.
Well, that's the thing is, like I have just not even been enjoying music today. Like, and I really need that guitar play because I just feel like such a fucking pussy, Snowy. I wanted to see these rock and roll places so bad, you know, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, well, can't you go later? Cause you know, like everybody's so scared of this. Like those people are like, oh, well, you can go later. I'm like, you don't understand. This is a once in a lifetime show. And if I find another show, it's not going to be in this theater and I probably wouldn't stay here. I'm not going to be in the perfect spot. Like literally everything I wanted to do was in a perfect walking distance. Perfect. You know, and for the record, walking distance for me means like a 2 to 3 mile radius. Cause like, that's nothing, you know?
Right.
You know, so it's not like it's a half a block this way, half a block that way. Like I was ready for a hike. Like I was easily going to put on 10 miles, you know.
Right on. No, that's walking distance.
Well, yeah. See, you get it. Yeah. But yeah, so I feel like a sissy. But other than that, that's my metal fix. Then we'll talk about the Kirk thing here in a minute.
Yeah. Well, here, we'll drop some tunes here because, like I said, the healing power of music. Before we get into my metal fix, I want to say hello and horns up to the good boys at Winnipeg recording artist Solenum. They recently recorded their new record, Ruled by the Cruel, and dropped a new track, In Contempt, out on Bandcamp already. Now, they're still unsigned. Their deal with Unspeakable is up. Maybe they're testing the waters and all that. It's definitely a band that should be signed to a rather reputable label and all that. Looking at you guys, and you labels know exactly which ones that I'm looking at, shall we say. Obviously, like, I'm a big proponent of this band. You know, I've been one of my favorite bands, local or otherwise, like, since the first time I saw them, so they're definitely due. And when they get picked back up, I'm sure they will sit back down with Radioactive Metal and they'll give us the whys and wherefores and the who's and what's and all that has to do with the new record. Really excited. A couple other really cool records across my desk. The Mechanizations of Fate is the latest project from one Ash Thomas, is a name I've mentioned on this show before, and I don't know why we haven't had him, you know, in our creature feature, but Ash Thomas has just been, you know, in a number of awesome bands, you know, all throughout the Cleveland area and all that. He's currently like in like half a dozen bands, and you know, including this MOF band as well. Surgikill, Crucified Mortals, Faith Extractor, Vladimir's, all sorts of good stuff. I'm getting the connection lost here, guys. I don't know if you can hear me.
No, we hear you fine.
Not that.
Snowy, so, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, I now hear you guys. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've been hearing you the whole time. You're good.
Okay, good. Just every once in a while, like with Skype, man, it gets kind of tough after a while. So yeah, I was cranking the new Mechanizations of Faith with one Ash Thomas. Got to have him on the show. Some really cool thrash death as well. I was really excited about this split courtesy of Horror Pain Gore Death, a really cool 4-track 7-incher from Japanese death thrashers Abigail. God, this band's been around for years, and they have like one of those Nun Slaughter type metric shit ton of releases, various different labels and splits and compilations and all that. Their latest is with a band called Vulcan Tyrant. Some pretty good stuff from them as well. You know, I'm gonna have to drop in a song from that Abigail split. Really excited as well. We've mentioned this band on the show before, haven't had them on yet. I'm sure we will But San Jose's Mortuus recently just dropped their latest release. Carbonized Records went and unearthed some of their old demos, Among the Lost and Moor Immortalis, kind of put these two demos together, re-released it onto one cool compilation. So I was cranking that as well. Let's get into some tunes, because I want to hear all about your recent excursion, you know, out into the art world, my friend. So, something from Ash Thomas's Mechanizations of Fate, from their self-titled Debut record. This is Tyrannous Skies.
We'll be right back.
from that ultra cool split with Vulcan Tyrant, available now from Horror Pain Gore Death Productions, that is Abigail with Satanic for Slaughter. Great stuff, great stuff. You are going to want to pick that up. And while you are doing that, you are going to want to hear what our good buddy Aaron has to say about this recent excursion that he went on, that I'm kind of gnawing at the bit to hear about. And I gotta say, I'm a little green that I wasn't able to join you. What was going on?
Dude, I so wish you could have been there. Because, like, the minute I stepped in and I started looking at this, I'm like, Snowy would lose his mind. Like, the minute I set foot in that exhibit, I'm like, you'd be fucking losing your mind. So let's really set this up. So, and I don't know if we're still going to run it, but I recorded that segment that was like, it kind of captured my excitement, like when I got home. Me just rambling. But shout out to my new friend Clay, because I was looking for places to sit, and I found this guy, and like, so we just started talking, had a great freaking time. And that's one thing. Oh man, there goes my phone. I know I owe you guys a beer again.
You gotta buy someone a beer. Yeah.
I know. I'm pretty sure, like, I just need to like show up with a six pack when I see you, Snowy. Anyway, so all right. So Kirk Hammett has quite a collection of horror, right? And you can follow him on Instagram, FearFestEvil, on Instagram. And, you know, we know the Orion Fest, he had his little, you know, horror exhibits and all that sort of stuff. And I don't know if I realized just how passionate he was until I saw this. But let's just go through, like when you walk in, right? So,
First of all, yeah. What is this event called?
Fest? It's Alive. Yeah, it's called It's Alive. And it's basically a celebration of horror-themed movie posters, right? So, like, the old horror movies, those posters. And Kirk got into, like, I can't remember I can't remember what his first one was. Because at one point they asked us to stop taking pictures, so I obliged. But I've got a lot of pictures. But I'm not going to post them all, like, just full disclosure to anyone who's listening, because I don't want to take away from what's going on at the museum. So I will post a couple pictures, but I'm not going to post everything that I have, because I've got a lot, man. Like, I mean, this collection was just insane, right? So you walk in, and they had everything set up. Like, it was totally set up like a gala. Like, if you think about, like, the different movies and TV shows you've seen where they're attending a gala at a museum, that's what this was. Except for the fact that everybody's in leather and jean jackets, and they have metal patches, and they're drinking blackened whiskey and Enter Night Pilsner, you know. I'm like,
sounds like my kind of gala.
Right? Yeah. Right? Like, I step in, and I mean, like, I'm wearing my Search and Destroy hoodie, my Rollins Band hoodie. I'm like, oh God, like, I feel at home already. Like, and the thing is, like, I love museums. Like, I always feel at home in a museum. Like, I've spent time down the Smithsonian museums. Like, I love art museums and all sorts of stuff, because I love the history, culture, different cultures, like all this sort of stuff. So you walk in, and then included as a part of the ticket. So the ticket was only $25. And if anyone's thinking that's expensive, like, seriously, get over it, because it's $10 to get into the museum normally. And then it's normally $5 to go to the guitar experience. The guitar experience was included. That meant it was only an extra $10 to hear Kirk talk, right? Mm-hmm. So that was, for everything, especially in my area, that's probably the most reasonable ticket price I've paid for anything. Like, it was fantastic. And wait till you hear what's going to go on, not tomorrow. Well, tomorrow you'll like too, but also Thursday night. Like, they basically kicked off the exhibit when I went up with the Kirk the talk for Kirk, and then he was there the rest of the week doing stuff, and so was Robert Trujillo. Robert Trujillo was up there hanging out with him too, and when they introduced Kirk to get up for the talk, Robert runs on stage and starts waving at everybody, and we're like, what? whoa. And then like the best part is like then Robert runs back and Kirk runs out and the two of them high five each other. You could just see them laughing, like just like a couple of buddies just playing a prank, you know, they're having a great time.
So where are you going?
You walk in, you go into the guitar exhibit. They've got Kirk's guitar set up by ESP. And I mean, this really, if it wasn't stuff that he's literally using on stage, they went to great lengths to duplicate all that because it really looked like all the road cases I've seen in pictures. Right? And so for $5, you can do this. And if everybody's complaining about $5 to play his guitars, here's why it's $5, right? Think this through. Because I've been to other guitar-based exhibits at other museums that there was nobody watching and no price to play it and anything like that. And those guitars are trashed within the first day, right? So it's $5 to keep the parents from letting their kids go bang on the guitars. That's why it's $5, right? Because we're going to keep these like in good playable shape. Right, so you could go and play his setup, the wah. They've got everything set up. I walked in, I saw that. I'm like, man, that's awesome. And I was just so overwhelmed. I'm like, man, do I get in line? Do I play these? I'm like, maybe I'll come back up and pay the $5 because, like, you know, $5 to play his guitars, it's worth it, you know. And then they had two of his other guitars in like museum display cases. One had the Wolfman on it, and the other was the Phantom of the Opera. Right. So that's kind of as you walk in and you start to see this. And then in front of you is this huge It's Alive movie poster. It's got the big font and it's got like, you know, like the hands coming out of the ground. But one of them's throwing the metal horns. And that's what greets you at the exhibit. And nice. So you walk in and you're like, holy shit, like this is great. Like I stopped. I helped a couple take their picture in front of it. Because, you know, the lady was taking a picture of her husband. I'm like, would you guys like a picture together? She's like, oh my goodness, would you mind? You know, because I love doing that for people. But then let's see here. So the first picture I took was of Boris Karloff in The Mummy. Right? That's the first one, right? So okay. Here's the deal with these. Snowy, are you familiar with how this stuff was printed?
No, I can't say that.
All right. Have you ever heard the term stone lithograph?
Lithograph, yes. Stone, okay. Not so much.
All right. So stone lithograph, I had heard way back in the 90s when we were doing some sort of fundraiser and we met an artist that did stone lithographs. Had I understood what that meant, like as I didn't get it, had I understood, I would have had so much more appreciation for this artist and I would have probably bought some prints. Because when I looked at them, they were beautiful, but I didn't get it, right? So a stone lithograph means that the artist paints everything on a stone and then presses the stone onto the paper, and that's how they print it.
Oh, wow.
Right? And that's this is what they did in the 20s. Yeah, literally. Wow. Right? This is what they were doing in the 20s. And the other thing to know about this, why this collection is so rare for all the things that Kirk has, and I can't... I should have been trying to take more notes, but I really just sat there just in awe, really enjoying it. But there's a poster he has that is literally the only one in the world that survived, right? But here's why. So these movie posters, as artistic as they were, right? And this is where I clump my soapbox for a minute and say, if you have a friend who's doing art, pay them $5 the next time you want something to do or pay them anything. And don't expect your... You know, like the CDs for free or the music for free. For the love of God, pay these artists. Because these movie posters, which are beautiful, beautiful artwork, the reason there's not a lot that exists is because they're basically disposable. Once they're printed, they went around to the different movie theaters, and then they're tossed at the end of the life of the movie. So the fact that any exist is a miracle. And, you know, apparently... And here's the other thing. If anybody's going to sit here and be like, oh, well, I can't believe Kirk's charging money for this. You know, they have enough money, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Fuck you. And your Metallica has enough money. They've earned it. And here's the other thing that I found out. What Kirk does, this hobby he has where he collects these movie posters, this is a hobby that lots of people do, but nobody talks about. So basically, like, he's kind of in like an elite circle, and there's a lot of stuff like among people that have like a lot of money, like, you know, there's all kinds of collection stuff. Like, there's watches, there's cars, all that sort of stuff, record albums. There's things that, you know, we will never see here, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're never going to have that kind of money. We're not going to be the person that people want to talk to about it because they want the money, somebody that can pay this money. And like Kirk, literally, he was literally choked up, like to the point where you could tell he was tearing up when he talked about this part. But he's like, I just want to share this with people who enjoy it as much as I do. So that's why he's going around to different museums, because I found out that South Carolina is not the first museum to have this. I think Toronto's had it. And I feel like there's another one. And so I encourage everybody, go to your local museums, tell them, say, hey, here's a great idea. Here's a horror art collection. It's in the Columbia Museum of Art in South Carolina right now. Talk to them, figure it out, see how you can get this in your town. Because these posters, like, Kirk was really good about not talking about the prices, but I mean, having been around collections, having, you know, been in the vintage guitar industry, so to speak, like, I know what shit costs. Mm-hmm. And when you get to something that's one of it in the world, like, he paid a lot of damn money. And the fact that he's willing to pay that kind of money and take it out to the public and let us see it, like, I just, man, like, I mean, we all know that I talk about Metallica way too much on the show. I love these guys.
No, shit.
You know, I know. But this is the kind of shit that endears me to them even more.
This is the stuff I want to hear too. Yeah.
Because it's like, this is another thing of them giving back. And we're like, oh, well, they're charging $10. Well, guess what? The museum's going to make money and keep the lights on.
Yeah.
You know, like, not every museum can be free. Not every museum can be like the Smithsonian, right? The museums have got to be able to keep the lights on, get this collection in here. And it was just amazing, right? Okay, so let's see here. So check this out, Snowy. Blackula. Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
Right? They had an original poster for Blackula.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And that's something I've only ever heard of. I've never seen it. You know, like,
it's okay. You don't need to see it. Just it's stuff of legends.
Well, yes, I've heard that too.
You don't actually have to see it. No,
I've heard that too. Right, but like so you have these kind of things going on, and then I didn't do a good job framing some of these up, and when I say that, I mean I didn't do a good job getting like the size of how big some of these were, some of these posters, and I mean like to hear Kirk talk about this, he knows everything about this stuff. He's like, oh, there's single sheet, three sheet, five sheet, you know, starts, like, he knows everything about the printers, about who the artist was. I mean, he has really done the research about this. He's really passionate about this art, you know. So let's see here. He has an original Boris Karloff Frankenstein, and this one was huge. Ooh. This one looked like it'd be like a large billboard movie sign. And just the art, Snowy, the art on some of these was just amazing. So, all right, hang on, check this out. Damn it, I didn't take a picture of the... I didn't take a picture of the card that tells me. So, Nosferatu, right? Are you familiar with Nosferatu? Right.
Of course.
All right. So, 1922, like the first iteration of Dracula, and I didn't know this. I didn't know that it was an unauthorized version of Dracula.
What do you mean?
Well, so
okay, that has to be a rib.
Like no. Like they basically plagiarized the Dracula story with Nosferatu. Like they didn't get permission to do it.
Yeah, but Dracula is public domain.
Well, I don't now understand. Not 1922, it wasn't.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, not 1922. It is now, you know. But yeah, at that time they didn't have the rights or whatever to do it, and that's I guess there was a big deal. So then the poster he has of Nosferatu was. Was the Mexican release or South American release? One of those. But it's beautiful. But so then with Nosferatu, Thursday night at back up at the museum, and I'm thinking about going to this. Like I'm kicking it over in my mind here. I might. And I think it's again, like it's either $20 or $25. But you start at the museum, they give you a personalized tour of the collection, then you walk down the street to the Nickelodeon Theater, and in the Nickelodeon Theater, they're going to put on Nosferatu, which is a silent film, but they're going to have live musicians do the music for it.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
cool. Just to see Nosferatu just alone in a theater.
Right?
Just that environment, I would just be like... Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's
I'm really thinking about it. I think I may have to do that one.
You and have to, man.
They're doing so many fun things around this. Like tomorrow, I'm not going to go to this one. I was on the fence about it. But I've got some other stuff going on that I need to do. But I was really thinking about going up for. They were doing like a lunch session kind of thing where they bring in somebody to talk about like the obsession with genetically modified creatures. It's an actual geneticist, like genetically modified creatures in horror films. And they're going to talk about everything from like Swamp Thing up to, and I don't know if you guys saw like The Shape of Water.
Not yet.
You know what? It's a love story, but it's very well done. If you want to take if you take like the classic things of like King Kong and The Creature from the Black Lagoon and all those sort of like classic story elements, they did a good job of modernizing it. Like I've seen it a couple times. I really liked it. You know, like I thought it was very well done. It was really well done. Okay. So, and pause me anytime if you have other questions about stuff, because literally like I'm going to ramble like a child. Because I'm so freaking excited.
Well, I'm kind of curious about something here. Okay, like you mentioned, yeah, you know, there was a room full of rockers and all that. But
yeah.
What about just your regular artsy types? Because I remember I took Mrs. Snowy to the Rock of Ages musical. And yeah, there was a lot of rock fans, you know, that you could physically tell and all that. But there were a lot of... just people that just go to musicals, you know, there's just normies that go to everything.
Yeah.
Was there people that are just art fans, not necessarily, you know, heavy music fans? Did you notice?
So I'm going to say at this event, probably not, because this one had Kirk talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I didn't see everybody, but also, you know, looks can be deceiving because I don't look like a metal fan anymore, you know?
Right.
But I honestly think everybody who was there to see the Kirk talk. Uh-huh. Everybody there was some sort of Metallica fan, you know. But the other cool thing was like Clay that I was sitting beside, like we really bonded over this because not only do we like metal and Metallica, but then we really bonded over the horror aspect because everybody who was there was also really into art. And so we're talking about like the old horror movies, like, and I don't know if this happened up in Canada because I was telling Clay and he didn't remember it happening because he grew up in South Carolina. He didn't remember it happening, but so back in the 80s, we had like a local station I think that was doing 3D versions of the old monster movies.
Oh and wow!
You would go to the you'd have to go to like a local grocery store. And pick up your 3D glasses there, or was it? It was so weird the way they were doing it, you know. But you pick up your 3D glasses, and I can remember my grandmother went to the grocery store, got the 3D glasses because I love monsters. Like I have loved this stuff since I was a little kid, you know. Mm-hmm. And she got the 3D glasses, and like my whole family, like mom, dad, my sister. My grandfather, my grandmother on my mom's side, my uncle, you know, on my mom's side, all of us are sitting in my grandparents' living room, 3D glasses on, our own home-popped popcorn, watching The Creature from the Black Lagoon in 3D on the TV.
Nice, nice.
And like, you know, we were talking about these things, just bonding over, because, like, I love monster movies. And, you know, and again, like, you know, coming back to, like, when I was talking about feeling like a total pussy for not going to see Dean... Like part of that self-loathing is because when I go to events like the Dean Del Rey thing or like this Kirk Hammett thing, this is the only time I feel normal. It's the only time I don't feel like I'm being judged. Okay. You know, or like I have to watch what I say or watch what I do or watch what you talk about musically or this sort of stuff. Like, it's the only time I really feel I can just let shit fly, talk about music and the stuff I'm into, and not have somebody look at me strange, you know?
Fun world.
Exactly, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so this one, no, I don't think there are a lot, but this exhibit is running until May, right? So, I mean, it's here for a long time. And I was telling my wife, I think I'd like to maybe take the kids up because I think they get a kick out of it.
You know? I'm sure.
Oh, my goodness. Like, some of these prints, like when I saw them, like, oh, my goodness. I know I couldn't afford them. I couldn't afford them. And that's what Clay and I were talking about on the way out. I'm like, you know, because we were talking about like how everybody liked to, you know, bust Metallica's balls for the whole MP3 thing. And, you know, oh, you have enough money thing. It's like, listen, nobody would be seeing these posters. If they were in the hands of private collectors other than Kirk Hammett, nobody's going to see it because nobody else is doing this. Mm-hmm. But that's the metal community. That's that community aspect of metal where it's like, holy shit, I'm into this. I bet somebody else in the community is into this. Let's talk about it. You know, so you share these things and you have this bond over the stuff. All right. So let's talk about the movie props. So from the original Frankenstein, you know, like the coils were like the electricity was coming from.
Okay, yeah.
He owns one of those coils.
Oh, wow.
And it was on display. I was like, holy shit. Now, check this out. The movies are Invasion of the Saucer Men, and the other one is Invaders from Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And he had one of the costumes that they wore in Invaders from Mars, and like I was photographing everything here. Do I have this one? Okay, so prop suit from Invaders from Mars, 1953. It was a plush cotton fabric, zippers, metal, painted paper mache, and wool. It says, although the technical effects used in Invaders from Mars seem simplistic by contemporary film standards, the use of vivid super cinecolor photography and acute camera angles are visually striking. The actor wearing the 7-foot-tall Martian prop suit towered over the human characters, enhancing the threatening effect. Right? So that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also had a prop from Invasion of the Saucer Men. And I think if you checked out my Instagram, I posted those on there. But I'll post these up because it was so cool to see these props and then the movie posters that go with them. And they had a couple of different shots of the saucer men, like, and it was and so here's something else that was cool. So, you know, not only do you get to go walk through this before the talk, well then you go upstairs, you know, you go to Kirk gives the talk, and. You know how, like, when celebrities say they're going to do something for an hour and, you know, it's the end of the hour. Oh, my goodness. Are we done already? Oh, no. I wish I could stay with you guys. And you can tell it's just so cheesy. Like the guy's interviewing Kirk. And, I mean, Kirk is just gushing about the stuff. He's like, no, let's talk about this and this and this. And he's like, you know, and this horror movie and this film. And he's so passionate about these types of films and about the art behind it, you know? And the interviewer, it says something like, okay, so last question, because we're at the end of our time. And Kirk goes, what, really? He's like, are you sure? Like, you could tell, like, he legit, if we didn't stop him, we could have probably talked easily 2-3 hours.
He would still be going.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and because, again, he's like, he's got that childlike energy, you know? And, like, he was saying, like, I think the first horror film that he saw was, hang on, I have the poster here somewhere. It was The Triffids, something with The Triffids. Yes, The Day of the Triffids.
Right on.
Yeah, that was the first one, and that was one of the ones he had on there. So let's see here.
Don't even know what my first horror film would have been.
Well, I took a poster specifically with you in mind, and I think I put that one in the group me. It was for Barbarella with Jane Fonda.
It's a classic.
Well, that's what I figured too, right? And I'm like, okay, if there's anybody who I know that's going to appreciate this one, it's Snowy. So I'm taking this picture. and I can't remember if I put these in there. Did you see the Godzilla print?
No.
Okay, so they had like a card. Like, I guess it was like a lobby card. Like literally, it was more like an 8x10. Hang on, find this one. It was Godzilla versus King Kong, and it's got the Japanese writing on it.
Oh, right on.
Dude. Just dude. Like I was so excited. Like I love Godzilla. Godzilla is probably what got me into monster movies in the first place.
Oh yeah. You know? Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, and then that's, you know, for me, then I went back and like all the classic universals, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, the Creature from the Black Lagoon. And for whatever reason, and I think we've probably talked about it on the show, but like, I love the water, like love the water, always have. Mm-hmm. And the Creature from the Black Lagoon has been one of my favorite monsters for as long as I can remember. So I got a picture of that poster. He has an original Star Wars poster.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, from 1977. It's an offset lithograph. And, I mean, literally, they have who printed it, the artist who did it, when the artist lived. Oh, here's another good one. It was Monster from the Ocean Floor.
Ooh.
That was great. And that was 1954. Literally, I think his collection, they said, spans over 100 years.
Wow.
Like, yeah, he has stuff that goes
back. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's just amazing, right? So let's see. Oh, and then they had some of the toys, right? And I think this will probably be the last thing I talk about. They had, like, remote-controlled Frankenstein and Wolfman creatures that were blowing my mind. And, again, like, these were Japanese, like, issued toys, or maybe Chinese. I apologize, because I don't know what the characters are, but they're definitely not the Arabic alphabet I'm used to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. There's a Creature from the Black Lagoon that I got a picture of. Just all kinds of crazy stuff like this. And then, oh, here's another picture, poster I took specifically for you. And that was the She Creature.
Right.
Yeah, that's another one where I'm like, okay, yes, nobody needs to see that.
She Creature.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad name right there, too.
You would have just been like, I walk through this, I'm like, oh, why do we all have to live so far apart?
Uh-huh.
I mean, one, like, I'm out in the sticks and nothing ever comes here anyway, so this was a miracle in itself. And I have a story to tell about that, too, but so we'll come back to that. But, you know, like, I was just walking through, and I'm like, Snowy needs to be here. Like,
definitely.
Would have had so much fucking fun at this, dude. Like, you would have just been geeking out like crazy. But so, check this out. So here's why we got it, right? Because so the museum director gets up there. She starts talking about this and that. And she's like, listen, she's like, this is all about relationships. And this is a funny part. Well, I'll get to that part here in a second. But so it turns out one of the guys that works at the museum, his dad is the tour manager from Metallica. And as a kid, he hung out with these guys on tour.
Oh, okay. You know?
And so she's telling the story. She's like, yeah. She's like, so he got to hang out with James and Kirk and Lars and the others. And everybody starts booing her when she says the others.
The others.
But she's like, hey. She's like, and like, I got immediately why she paused and why she said the others. Because, you know, she's like, listen. She's like, some of them are no longer with us. And I think she honestly wasn't sure. She's like, okay, would he have been with Cliff? Would he have been with Jason? Would he have been with Robert, right? Because that's three different bassists they could have been on tour with. Which, I mean, looking at the age of the kid, she wouldn't know this. I would. More than likely, Jason. He would have hung out with Jason Newsted. I doubt he got to see Cliff Burton and all. But so,
okay.
So he was the one who pitched to her 2 years ago, hey, let's do a horror-featured art exhibit. She's like, okay, I'm listening. And so he was able to set it up, you know. And so I thought that was super cool, you know, that this guy also loves this horror stuff and then brought this to because, I mean, and it's funny because this stuff really is museum-quality stuff. Like, these prints he has, and again, I wish I could remember the one he was talking about, like, he gets a call, and literally, they found the poster in an old boarded-up projection room. Like, they're cleaning out the theater, and it was just hanging up there on the wall, and it's in pristine shape. It's been preserved, you know? because it's been kept with no sunlight. Like, I can't even imagine what he's paying for one of these pieces. Like, I'm willing to bet it's easily in the billions for a piece, right? Like, just knowing what art and other things go for, especially, again, one-of-a-kind stuff, like, it has to be. You know, so just, man, like, to see this collection in person and then to hear him talk about it and just how passionate he is about it, just, oh man, like that's the kind of stuff that just makes you love what we do with the metal, the music, all that sort of stuff, you know.
For sure. And I, when you announced, okay, like you were going to see this and you started telling me what it was all about, I immediately thought to myself, okay, this does not surprise me. Because I remember, like, as a teenager reading, you know, Metal Mania and all that, and just Metal Forces and all that. And I've seen pictures, you know, of a young Kurt Hammett with all of his toys and his comic books and you know, his paraphernalia and all that. And it's like, yeah, I remember that. So this does not surprise me at all. Yeah. Okay, did he take, as in Mr. Hammett, did he take any, you know, during his talk, did he do any fan questions?
No. No, they had it to a pretty tight hour. The guy that I guess hosted the talk, kind of did the interview thing, directed it, really had all his questions prepared, and they were really good. I mean, if it was rehearsed, it sure didn't feel rehearsed. Mm-hmm. Like, everything felt just real genuine the way they did it. But yeah, no, they didn't have time for fan questions. They kept it to a pretty strict hour, but it was fantastic.
All right. Okay. Yeah, when you were all said and done and you sent me a little piece, shall we say, about you marking out and getting all stoked about everything, do you want to kind of wrap this segment up by going with that?
Yeah, let's book this. So,
okay, well then I'm gonna let you introduce yourself.
Okay, I will. So, so Snowy here had the great foresight to be like, man, because we're actually gonna do this for the Dean Del Rey show. He wanted to do a post game. I'm like, man, that is a great idea. Like, to sit down, turn on the recorder, talk about it, like you guys did for the Quebec Metal Fest or Quebec Death Fest rather. And so I had that in my mind. I'm like, you know what? That's what I need to do. So that's why I tried to call you on the way home, figuring we could talk. If you could fire up a recorder, I'd call you over Skype. But then, you know, so I just, you know, you weren't available. So I got home and turned on my recorder in here, turned on a microphone, and I just went for it. So I think this is about 7 minutes long. And you're probably going to hear some similar things. You might hear some different things. But I wanted to capture the excitement that I had from that night. And I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything, because I'm sure there's things I've already forgotten. Because there's so much to take in, you know. And there's one piece he was talking about. And I started going around, and I'm like, guys, do you remember what he said about this? And for the life of me, I can't remember what it was. Oh, no, I know. There's supposed to be a Frank Frazetta piece in there. And for the life of me, I can't find it. And it's killing me, because I love Frank Frazetta's artwork. Love it. And man, I'm like, oh, I really want to see that. But anyway, so here is me talking more about the Kirk Hammett thing. All right, horns up, metalheads. Here's what's going on. I just got back from the Kirk Hammett art exhibit. It's alive at the Columbia Museum of Art in Columbia, South Carolina. And I want to share a couple quick thoughts. It's late, and I just want to get this stuff out while I'm thinking about it. So one, horns up and shout out to my new buddy Clay that I sat beside. Had a great time talking to him. Great conversation. It was just so nice to be with other metalheads, people that are into horror and art, and to hear people's stories. And it was fun talking to Clay and really kind of reliving our childhood about how we got into this sort of stuff. And as I looked at everything in the Kirk Hammett collection, I started to realize that I think what drew me to Metallica was their horror imagery, because I'm not a big horror movie fan. I'm not like Snowy on the show where I love all these slasher films and that sort of stuff, but I love the imagery, especially of the classic monster films. So I grew up loving Dracula. The Wolfman, especially the Creature from the Black Lagoon, one of my all-time favorites, Godzilla, like those kind of monster movies, that dark imagery. Give me like the haunted house on the hill, like the monsters kind of thing, and the trees with no leaves and the Halloween. Like, I love that sort of imagery. And that's why I love things like Alien, H.R. Giger, the pest head art that Metallica had. And so you walk through this exhibit, and I just had a smile on my face the whole time. It's amazing. So I think it's like $10 to go to the museum and see it. If you're going to be in the South Carolina area, like Columbia area, if you can travel here, if you're up in Myrtle Beach or over in Greenville, or you're somewhere up in North Carolina and it's a couple hours, you're there for work, get down here. Check this out. $10 to get in, so worth it. It's a museum, but just the Kirk Hammett exhibit's fantastic. What I didn't realize is how rare some of these things are. And as Kirk gave his talk, he really tried to downplay what things cost, and I appreciate his use of language, but knowing what rare things go for, right? Not working the guitar, but having a passion for guitars and understanding what certain years of guitars go for. I know a poster from 1933 for a movie that's a cult classic that nobody has seen since 1933, I know that's going to be expensive, right? And so it was a blast to walk through here, look at this stuff, and I finally understand what a stone lithograph is. Kirk kind of explained it, and because I'm looking at some of these posters, I'm like, wow, why does it have that kind of texture? And these are original prints, and it was beautiful. And I mean, some of the prints were, you know, like side of a building kind of billboard sort of stuff. Others were just like a small marquee. And he was explaining 2-sheet, 3-sheet, like you could really tell Kirk really got into this. And that was the blast, because all of us there, we're there for Kirk, we're there for Metallica, we're there for the horror. Like, everybody enjoyed everything that was going on. And one of the things that Kirk said towards the end, and I wanted to call this out, because you could tell he's really passionate about it. He knows all the details about every piece that's in his collection. He can talk to you about it, talk to you about how he got it. And, you know, he basically alludes that once he got success with Metallica, he started collecting this stuff. And then once he started building a name for himself as a serious collector, then he started getting more calls. And he also pointed out, and this is the case with a lot of things, like anything is super collectible and super rare, a lot of the collectors keep it to themselves. It's a very private hobby, and they might know each other, but it doesn't go out to the public. And you can tell, like, Kirk just, you know, with the love that he has for this and with the community that, you know, Metallica's fostered, he wanted to share it. And so he talks about that, and he was talking about the end, and he really got choked up. Like he really got choked up, and we all just started applauding, you know? Like, I made sure I started applauding because I get it, you know? And what I appreciate, and I'm going to tell all of you right now, I don't want to hear another word about Metallica has too much money, blah, 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 whatever. I don't want to hear a word about it, because without Metallica's success, Kirk wouldn't have been able to acquire these pieces, and they'd be in the hands of some other collector that wouldn't share them with a museum, and I would have never seen them. You would never see them. All the other people that were there to see this amazing art would never have seen it. And it's really some amazing art with an amazing part of cinematic, like, it's a piece of cinematic history. So it's just fantastic. Like, if you can go see the exhibit, go see the exhibit. Getting to hear Kirk talk about it was fantastic. I really wish everybody in Radioactive Metal could have gone with me. If Snowy was there, he would have been geeking out so hard. It was just great, you know, and it was just wonderful to run into other like-minded people who enjoy heavy music, dark imagery, the macabre sort of thing. And it's like, when I say dark imagery, like, I don't want to see blood and gore and that sort of stuff, but I like the mystery. You know, like, there's a Dracula poster with the eyes, like, it's the silhouette of Dracula, but then you just see the eyes, and it's the woman in the seductive pose. kind of thing. You know, it's a classic from the 30s kind of thing, you know. And I love the mystery of that. Just the old Gothic castle, like the things that it makes my imagination do. Like I need to see if I can still find my old monster book that I had growing up. That we used to check out of the library, and I checked it out so many times, my parents finally bought me one. And it's still to this day, like I have it here, and it just it means so much to me because I love that stuff, you know, and I'm very thankful that my parents accepted what a wacko kid I was, you know? But so like I get where Kirk's coming from, I get why he has the passion for it, and I love it. And you know, like I really hope if you can get a chance to see this exhibit, because here's the good thing. It's in Columbia right now. It was, I think, up in Toronto at one point, because I started kind of checking out, doing a little bit more research about what's going on with his art collection. So Kirk is taking it around to other museums, right? So maybe you need to find your local museum in town and say, hey, there's this awesome horror art movie poster exhibit that's going around that Kirk Hammett's putting on. What can we do to get him here, right? Like, because this is, oh, it's just such a great exhibit. So anyway, metalheads, horns up, peace out. Thank you all for listening, and rock on.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Hey guys, it's the Stallion, and when I'm contemplating suicide, I throw on the Shining Wizards because nothing makes me feel better than knowing I'm not one of these four grown adults virgin fucking marks discussing a fake wrestling product.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want? Are you tired and frustrated from always straightening out your LPs? Now with KTEL Record Selector, this will never happen again. To choose your favorite music, tilt the first record forward. The others follow automatically. Pick your selection when it appears. To choose more LPs, lean the next record forward and wait for your choice. The record selector is a new space-age design for selection and storage of records. Fingertip control regulates the speed of record selector. To replace the records, tilt the first record forward. Record selector with a mind of its own will automatically stop where the LP was taken from. End awkward selection and storage of LPs with Record Selector. Attractively finished in a gift box. KTEL Record Selector. Only $3.99.
There are only three good things you need in life. Sex, beer, and pure rock radio.
We'll be right back.
had to drop some relatively new tunes from some old friends of Mr. Hammett. That is the title track from Sadus's Out for Blood. I had to get a Bay Area band in there. You know, I kind of like, we need something to go with this. I'm sure Kirk and the Sadus boys go back more than a couple years. And all that. Yeah. I'm glad. Thank you so much for that, Aaron. I'm so glad that you had a really good time. Like I said, I wish I would have made it out there and all that. Like, dude, that you're absolutely right.
Me too. And seriously, though, like, if you guys have an art museum in Winnipeg, I have names. We can talk off air and, like, see if we can get people talking to other people and get this up to you guys. Because, like, you have to see this. You have to see this.
Sounds like something that we should look into. But until then, let us look into tonight's Indie Spotlight.
We're always on the lookout for fresh new talent. Check out this Indie Spotlight.
Later on this year, we are going to be seeing the new release from Edmonton's The Order of Chaos. The vocalist for The Order of Chaos will be no stranger to the show. We've had her on before, and we've just spoken to her. And every time that Amanda Kiernan comes through town with her project, Into Eternity, is always a treat. Her current project, The Order of Chaos, as I said, will be dropping their latest album, Maniacal, sometime later in this year. But in the meantime, the first single from said project came across my desk, and I just, I gave this one spin, okay, and I said, that's it. This is this week's Indie Spotlight. So with that, sit back, take another shot of your dragon's milk. Everyone else, crack, you know, their choice of bevies. And enjoy the latest output from Edmonton's The Order of Chaos. www.facebook.com, The Order of Chaos. Check that out. And I love Amanda. She is so cool. Like, every time she's come through town and all that, she makes sure that she hangs out with everyone, and we just have a fabulous time. So do your cool Uncle Snorri a solid. Check out everything that has to do with this band and let them go on to be absolutely amazing. What has been absolutely amazing has been this week's episode. Thank you so much, guys. Aaron, how can people get a hold of us?
Well, before that, I was just realizing that you always refer to yourself as your cool Uncle Snorri, and I was realizing that you do have nieces and nephews. Do you make them call you the cool Uncle Snorri?
No. I don't even know if they know who Snorri is. Yeah,
that'd be even funnier. Like, that'd be really great. But anyway, so, ladies and gentlemen, interact with us. Reach out to us. Give us a virtual hug from the internet. So definitely this week's episode, head on out to @radmetal666 on Instagram, because I'm going to post pictures. Snorri, Sky, hit me up at the group me, remind me on Friday, because I'm probably going to forget. Because I'm going to try and curate some pictures to put up on the Instagram, because, man, you guys got to see this stuff. So hit us up there. We're also on Twitter at the same handle, @radmetal666. Check us out on Facebook at Radioactive Metal, or is it just Rad Metal? Facebook.com/Rad Metal, for the love of God. And then our Gmail, radmetal666@gmail.com. Drop us a letter there. And of course, hear us first Thursday nights, purerockradio.net. You can also catch up with us on the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. We're going to be out there with the Shining Wizards Network, or Shining Wizards podcast, along with other wrestling podcasts. Possibly one where you might hear Snorri's voice. Hint, hint, hint. Something coming up. Maybe. You might, you know. As well as other wonderful lifestyle type podcasts. And then, dear listeners, if you are tired of this digital age that we live in, if you have had enough, if you're like, fuck this social media, give me that. I just want to write an old-fashioned letter. I want to get something out of the mailbox. I want to sit down. I want to drink a beer, and I want to read it. Well, you're going to have to get digital for a second longer. So go to facebook.com/radmetal, message us, and say, hey, I want to write Snorri a letter. We'll get you Snorri's address. You guys can send letters back and forth, just like the old days of the Pen Bangers section of Metal Forces magazine.
Yeah. Memories. Yeah. And it's not just the, you know, the old snail, the whole snail mail thing, but it's just the live tape trading and the demo tape trading and all that. It was something special, and it's just never going to, it's just never going to come back, unfortunately. But yeah, if you are, if you are an old school rocker like myself, and you miss those glory days and you want to communicate with me, I will be more than happy to shell out for a stamp.
You know what, though?
For us to do that.
I think we have a shot of it coming back, at least in a different way. Because here's the deal. And remind me, I want to talk about this for next time, but the list is up for Record Store Day. And there's a lot of good stuff on it for metal fans, right? Mm-hmm. I think I posted it to our GroupMe. But Record Store Day is probably the closest we get to the old days once a year.
I think so, yep.
You know, because you're, again, I mean, fuck, even if somebody's out looking for like a Madonna record, I'm having a great time talking to that person because they're a real music fan and they're looking for it on vinyl or whatever else, you know, what have you. So I feel like if we keep fighting and we keep fighting to make this connection, I mean, at least in our community, you know, that we can have what we used to have back in the day, the tape trading, the passionate talks, what I saw Kirk Hammett do with his passion around art. Like, fuck this segmentation of society. You know, there is more that joins us than separates us. Let's celebrate the things that we have in common and fucking come out and have a great time.
I hear that. Right on. In the meantime, and in let's go out with a track. I almost forgot. Yeah. Available now from Seasons of Mist. The new Necro Wretch is out. Let's go with the title track, The Ones from Hell. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been an artsy fartsy episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Sky.
And this is Aaron.
Signing off.